This week we're talking with a fitness trainer, Jay Morgan, about exercise and romance. Stay tuned as we explore issues pertaining to physical and romantic fitness.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Welcome to Frank Relationships, where we provide a candid, fresh, and frank look into relationships with the goal of acceptance, respect, and flexibility. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. Once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Gail.
Good morning.
This week's guest is personal trainer Jay Morgan. He's the owner of Born to Be Fit, which he's all too happy to tell us about in just a moment. This year, he was anointed by the Washington City Paper as the 2012 Best Personal Trainer. He's a D.C. native with a background in accounting, finance, and business, and attended American University, where he was an athlete. He notes that he's always had a passion for fitness, and at some point needed a change in lifestyle, so he made the bold move of becoming a personal trainer, which he's been now pursuing for 4 years. He offers personal training to athletes, corporations, couples, and families. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Jay Morgan. Mr. Morgan?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's jump right in. Being a personal fitness trainer, what do you do?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, a lot of times when people think of a personal trainer, they think of a boot camp instructor or someone who's, you know, over the top and mean and big and just all in your face. Well, that's true. I do all those things. But some of the things that it's not talked about is that I'm a counselor. I'm a therapist. I'm a listener. You know, I'm a confidant. And in some respects, I'm a parent. Fitness aside, a lot of aspects that go on, along with the business besides just fitness. I encounter people on a daily basis with tons of, you know, fitness goals, health and wellness goals. And then that process of achieving those goals, there's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of mental barriers, a lot of day-to-day obstacles that occur. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's personal. It's relative to the person. And so I hear lots of stories. I hear about divorces, affairs. I hear about family deaths. I hear about getting fired at work. I hear about promotions. So I hear a lot of the secrets that, you know, people, you know, look towards other people for that they tell me. Get close to them. Well, and, you know.
What's your point? So why do you need to be mean, green, and a muscle building machine? What is your goal in doing that?
Well, you know, my personally, my body is my business. So for people to look at me, I need them to be inspired. I need them to be motivated. So personally, I take it very seriously. What I'm eating, which is 90% of it all, your diet, exercising rigorously 5-6 times a week, making sure I'm resting, but. You know, and all those things, my body's my business. I sell myself. So, you know, personally, I have to have a body image that's going to attract, that's going to motivate and inspire others to want to get where I am. And in the process, that's the business in itself.
Okay.
Mr. Morgan, going back to when you mentioned you're a therapist and you're a counselor and confidant and all those things, can you explain to us how physical fitness kind of plays a part in the mental health aspect of wellness?
Sure. Firstly, self-esteem. Talk about you wake up in the morning time and you look in the mirror, you're brushing your teeth, and you see yourself and you see an image. And what you see yourself is definitely going to affect how, you know, your first emotions of the day. I know when I wake up in the morning time, if I look in the mirror, you know, and if I have had a great week of working out and I feel my body is feeling, you know, ripped and toned, I feel confident about myself. So I walk out of the house with a smile. And a lot of times, a lot of people, again, going back to that image, the first thing you see in the morning, we wake up. And some people, you know, aren't happy with themselves. they walk with their heads down, and it permeates in other areas of your life. If you're lacking self-confidence in your own self-awareness and body image, it will permeate and it will rear its ugly head in another form, another area of your life. So with that being said, your body image and being in shape and being healthy definitely plays a mental role. People who are in shape, people who live healthy lifestyles, nine times out of ten, are less stressed, A. They're happier, B. They're just more down-to-earth and grounded. A lot of times we work out so hard. You're too tired to get stressed about stuff. You're too tired to be, angry about this and that. When you exercise, your body releases endorphins, those feel-good hormones. So, you walk around, you're more relaxed. Stress has no place.
Okay, well, we've covered a little bit of the general basis on why exercise and fitness is important. Now we're going to get into the relationship side of it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so relationships. How does exercise and fitness benefit or affect relationships?
Well, that's a great question. It's something that I've encountered personally, myself, and also with clients recently. My girlfriend is actually a personal trainer as well. And being around, and it's a goal for any type of relationship, whether it's man, woman, spouse, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend.
Is your girlfriend good looking?
Oh, she's very attractive.
All right.
You said the right answer.
gorgeous. But, and she has a great body. But being, when you're, if your spouse or your, whatever relation you're in, if both persons are, take their bodies and use the body as a priority. If they, they're eating well, if they're sleeping, if they're exercising, it's a bond that's built, especially if they're doing it together. I remember playing sports where, in preseason where, we would be getting killed, running suicides or sprints, and you look to the left and you look to the right, and you see person A sweating his behind off and person B getting ready to pass out. But at the end of the day, it's a sense of camaraderie because you're doing it together. So with that in mind, imagine take that down a level with a family member or with a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or with a wife or husband, who's exercising together, practicing wellness techniques together. It builds a bond that really can't be broken. So going back, I'm sorry.
Are you telling me that there are times when it is okay to yell at your woman?
I don't think that's what the man said.
But there's definitely a time. I know personally, I actually trained my girlfriend as well. She uses me.
Does she train you?
She doesn't train me, though.
Okay.
I train her. because we have different training styles. So I'm more, I train for sport, and I train for, like, those grunts. And if you're not cursing doing a workout, then you're not working hard.
Right.
And I train her, and there's a lot of times where I got to get on her about things. And I look at her in that 1 hour. She's not girlfriend A. She's not my future wife B. She's client. That's all I see.
Mr. Morgan, have you ever dated someone that wasn't physically fit or wasn't as fit as yourself?
Yes, my last relationship.
And how did that work out?
Spell it.
My last relationship. It was actually one of the downfalls because, to be honest, over time I lost my traction, A. And being young and, I'm 27, so, I guess I'm still around my prime right now. So, I lost my traction, A. And it affected other things, like when we go out, for example. I want to go somewhere where there's a healthy food alternative. For her, she might just want to go get Chinese or something like that. And so there was a lot of arguments about things like that. And also who you surround yourself with. I don't drink as well. I don't put alcohol into my system. So when we're going out to a club or to a lounge or to a bar, I don't really want to associate or be around people who are, going to get wasted and drunk, things like that. But and her friends were. So for me, it was sort of like, all right, well, you guys go do you. I'm going to go to the club and dance, using music as my alcohol. I'm going to go to the club and dance while you guys go drink, et cetera, et cetera. So, that disconnect started to grow and grow and grow. And, I just couldn't, it got to the point where it was just couldn't make up for the loss.
Well, you being a trainer, I guess it was maybe easier for you to not fall off. Have you seen it in instances when you're training your clients that you've seen it, you know, people are really fit, they're into getting their workout in, and then they date someone who isn't as active as they are, and then their workouts tend to fall off or decrease.
That actually happens quite frequently, especially with married couples. We're a situation where actually I'm dealing with one right now, where I have a wife who's made significant strides. She's lost 85 pounds, doing great, phenomenally. Mm-hmm. And the husband, who should have been her rock and supporting her, decided to get envious and jealous, and just brought the whole mood down. And because, you know, being a wife to some extent, she wanted to cater to her man's emotional needs.
Right.
She tailed off a little bit. She stopped coming to me, you know, 3 times a week. I was seeing her 1 time a week. Her diet started to change. Her mood and attitude started to change. And she started to put the weight right back on.
Right.
I want to jump in on the note of how you interact with your partner when your partner really isn't into fitness. Mm-hmm. Some years ago, I dated a woman who initially said, and I had the perception that she was into fitness, but then we got out there and I started pushing her and saying do this and do that, and she absolutely hated it. And worse, when I said, all right, you don't want me to run my mouth, we won't exercise together, that really irritated her. So she kind of wanted her cake and to eat it too. She wanted us to exercise together, but she wanted me to keep my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I wasn't willing to keep my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the tone of that particular interaction ended up permeating our entire relationship for years to come. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not saying one is good, one's bad, one of us were right, one of us were wrong. It just was a hurdle that we never seemed to really get over.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts
mm-hmm.
on that?
Well, first of all, you know, you got to know your spouse's personality, their needs, their wants, their aspirations. And it goes part into, you know, in any relationship, just compromising and just really knowing each other. For example, the example I gave earlier with my own girlfriend, I know she can be very sensitive at times. You know, so I pick my spots. So just like a coach, for example, you know, I'll be the first to hold her accountable and push her so hard, you know, because I know she's capable of, I know where her potential is, et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, as much as I'm pushing, I'm also, you know, putting my arm around her, letting her know that, all right, it's okay. Like, this is fine. If you can't do this, it's cool. Grab a little quick sip, grab a rest, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of it is about giving and taking. And for men, and for a lot of men, you know, we think we know it all, especially when it comes to fitness, because we think that women are, you know, not as superior physically, can't do this, can't do that. But the fact of the matter is they are. And just knowing, again, knowing your partner's personality, knowing, you know, where to pick those buttons, where to push those buttons is very important. Just knowing, you know, when to pull back a little bit, because everyone doesn't react to, you know, in your face like, that push, push, push. Some people just react to silence. Some people get in their own mode, their own mantra, and just need nothing, no sounds, no talking, no anything, and that's all they need to push themselves. So it's just knowing your partner inside out, and it's definitely a great way to get to know them, obviously. But just knowing what push their buttons, knowing how to manage and critique their feelings while going through such, it can turn into a very stressful situation. That's what you described.
Indeed.
It can definitely turn to something very stressful. And just like anything else, I remember in the beginning with my girlfriend, in the first couple of sessions, you know, I pushed her very, very hard. And so there was an awkward silence when we left the gym because I knew she was upset. I knew it. It was an awkward silence and the hidden hostility until I put my arm around her and told her I'm sorry and I'll ease up a little bit, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, give or take, learning the person and, you know, pushing them. But at the same time, holding them accountable, but at the same time, knowing when to let step back and let them, you know, relax.
Right.
Because exercising should be something that, you know, relaxing, especially if you're with your mate, your spouse, your partner.
I think we should make it clear that you or the Frank Relationship Show, neither of us are advocating that you go out, the listener, you being the listener, go out and tap your spouse or your mate on the shoulder and start training them.
Definitely.
If we're advocating, if I'm advocating anything, it's get busy, get exercising, make your life as great as you possibly can, and make physical fitness a part of it.
Right.
Well said. Well said. Well said.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love. We're talking to fitness trainer Jay Morgan about physical and romantic fitness. Before we go any further, would you tell our listeners how they can reach you?
Sure. My website is www.borntobefit.org. That's BORNTOBEFIT.org. My email address is jmorganfitness, JAYMORGAN fitness, FIT NESS at gmail.com.
And at that website, what will they find? What can they do?
You will find videos, testimonials, pictures, galleries, a little bit of information on blogging that I do, and also ways to contact me if you're interested in doing things like boot camps or women's training. I teach a couple of all-female classes, catering to females only, of course. If you're an athlete needing to be pushed a little bit extra, corporations and firms, I train a couple of firms downtown D.C., or if you're just interested in getting your life back together, starting over and finally getting a program that's going to send you off in the right direction to a more healthier and better lifestyle, then go to the website. Check it out.
And Mr. Morgan, you mentioned nutrition earlier. Is there a nutrition component to your website as well?
Well, here's something that people don't realize. Your diet and your nutritional habits will account for 90% of your goals and your results.
Right.
You can exercise 24 hours a day.
Right.
Eat like crap and still have no results and continue that long road of frustration. 90% of it is your diet. And when I'm talking about nutritional guidance, I always consult individually. So I don't put out information that's for the masses, because we all differ individually. We all have different stories. We all have different lifestyles, different schedules, different eating habits, different ailments, different things. So dealing with nutrition, I like to talk to people individually, one-on-one, get to know their lifestyle before I give them any advice on how they should be eating.
Ah, nutrition, nutrition. Let's talk about pole dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, there's quite a fever out here these days around pole dancing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I'm taking a pole dancing class, and it is not easy.
I hear that it is quite difficult.
Hey, a lot of course.
You need muscles that you never even knew you had to pole dance effectively.
Definitely. I was not a fan at first, but after doing a couple and watching a couple and trying out for myself, it's definitely a tedious task. So I admire the woman who can hold those poses for 10, 15 seconds and pull themselves up with the upper body. Like, this is a lot of strength.
Do you have any pole dancing classes at your studio?
I don't do any pole dancing classes at my studio. I definitely haven't tapped into that market yet. I definitely see it as a way of getting women to, you know, move and they feel sexy while they're doing it, et cetera, et cetera. It's definitely a great way, a great tool just to reach out to another niche, and that's phenomenal. But I'm more of a traditional, strength train for sport, burpee your way out of here type training.
Yes.
You noted that you have some classes that are only for women. What's the purpose of having women-only classes?
Well, speaking of, trying to reach out to different niches and different markets, I've encountered, I would say 70% of my clients are female. And the reality of, in this industry, women are willing to pay for that assistance. Males have something called an ego. And with that ego comes a lot of, I know it all. And so a lot of guys think that, I read on the internet that I can do this and get this and I can do that and do that. And I'll play the sport. So they take that in mind, and so they go their own way to the gym and they et cetera, et cetera. Females, on the other hand, a lot of them look more, for external help and guidance to get the job done for them. So, in this market, in this industry, women are willing to pay more. Women are willing to pay, period.
Mr. Morgan, do you think that women are they're willing to work harder when it's just other women?
No, it's just that they're fatter.
What does that mean?
I would say a little of both. To be honest with you, I think women, you know, in the society that we live in, obviously things are changing, and more women are being involved, younger girls are being involved in sports and things like that. Mm-hmm. But generally, you know, when it comes to, you know, things dealing with our bodies, and especially fitness, it's been a male-dominant, you know, image that we portray. And so women, you know, have, and for maternal purposes, women actually have, they need more fat than a man. A woman actually needs 14% of essential body fat to function for normal maternal purposes than a man. A man needs 4% of essential fat. So if a woman, by nature alone, has them carrying, you know, a little bit more body fat than a man. But, yeah, so women are less inclined to be gym goers, et cetera, et cetera. Now, one thing I've noticed that, you know, especially in Washington, D.C., you have a lot of women joggers out there. A lot of girls, a lot of women, you know, put on their Lululemon, going outside, jogging with their headphones on, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, are still, you know, overweight or still have higher body fat percentages. But think that, you know, jogging and running is going to do it for them. So especially when it comes to strength training and lifting weights, women have always been, I don't want to get too bulky. I don't want to look like a man. So that's definitely a stereotype and misconception that's always going, you know, run rampant and kept women out of the gym. Even though things are changing marginally, that's still a general stereotype that's still running rampant.
All right, let's go with that. You got a man with certain physical fitness needs. You got a woman with certain physical fitness needs. Mm-hmm. They're, as you put it, they're basically not exactly the same. So mm-hmm. you're counseling a couple. Do you suggest mm-hmm. that they work out 100% together, 80% together, and do their own thing the other 20% of their time? How do you individualize the training?
Well, that's the beauty of programming, making programs for each person. You know, when you're programming for each person, obviously you're catering to individual needs. And just because, you know, a guy may have a different, you know, way of adapting to a particular program, a program can be catered to both. It'll be just different variables involved in that program. For example, a man, you know, might want to, I want to put on more muscle and I want to look more tone and physique, et cetera, et cetera. And again, the program itself is the exercise. And again, I want to repeat when I say this and be stern. You know, exercise is something that our bodies are naturally inclined to do. Our bodies want to move. Our bodies want to lift. They want to push, pull. They want to jump. They want to sprint. So that's the easy part. And so having our bodies adapt to exercise is like whatever. That's how our body looks at it. Again, how your body's going to recover, remodel, adapt, how it's going to get bigger, bad, and better is what happens when you leave the gym. And that's what comes, again, talk about your nutritional habits, your sleeping habits, things like that. So if a man wants to put on more muscle and be more, you know, more defined and have, you know, a little more jacked, a little more sexier, then he's going to eat more calories. He's going to eat more protein, et cetera, et cetera, when he's away from the gym. A woman who wants to, I want to lower my body fat, I may want to lose 10, 15 pounds, she's going to still lift weights. She's going to still do those things in different ways, different variables, different intensities. But she's also going to change the way she eats. She's going to eat fewer calories. She's going to drink more water. Her diet is going to be dominated by fruits and vegetables. So the program itself, the exercise, will be, you know, moderately the same, different variables involved. But how their body is going to remold and adapt to that is going to be, again, how the nutritional habits, what happens when they leave the gym. So when dealing with a couple at the same time, a lot of times you could put them through similar workouts.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Morgan. Let's talk about the nutrition with regard to couples. Is there mm-hmm. somewhere or some place that you can recommend that maybe couples can go to cook together or take cooking classes together? Like
that's
nutritional?
A great point. I actually have a guy who I definitely give out. His name is Chef Rahan Jackson of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. He specializes in healthy foods. And he's always giving seminars. He does Skype consultations, phone call consultations, so people can learn how to cook.
Spell his name for us.
Rahan Jackson. That's R-A-H-A-A-N. And his last name is Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N, at chefrahan.com. And he's a phenomenal chef. He's actually catered some of my events.
And does he do things specifically for couples? Is that something that couples can do together?
That's couples, sexy families, for them? Oh, definitely. Couples, families, and even individuals, learning how to cook healthy foods and also enjoy them at the same time. so you won't be throwing them up after, you know, making that face after you have dried up chicken or something like that. Learning how to cook, add flavor to your food, but in a healthy manner.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a minute and read the following excerpt from a blog that I did some time ago called Appearance Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Here it goes. Recently, I was milling around the house having a pretty average day, and I looked up and saw a beautiful woman walking my way. It was my wife. Good night. She was absolutely beautiful, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. She had just had her hair done, and it looked amazing. Now, don't get me wrong, I always find her attractive, but seeing her all polished and made up really got my attention. I love her for all sorts of reasons and that have nothing to do with appearance, but I also really loved it when she got all renewed. In the early stages of a relationship, most of us make an effort to present ourselves in the most attractive light, but over time, our presentations can go stale. I admit that I'm definitely not the first in line for a barber's chair every Friday, and I don't make a point of getting dressed up often or getting a manicure or pedicure. But after having the woman I've been looking at for 8 years blow me away, I can now see how appearance matters.
Mr. Burke said,
Well, okay then.
And appearance does matter. So tell me, do you primarily focus on, between in your relationship, do you primarily focus on your body, and do you not get dressed up, or do you gotta get dressed up every once in a while too to wow your woman?
Well, personally, you know, it's something me and my girlfriend talk about all the time. How can we have the most amazing relationship possible? Like, what steps can we take to keep this fire burning, you know, for extended, for a long period of time, so we can both enjoy each other? And one of the things that, you know, that comes up is that self-appearance and people getting comfortable, you know. And personally, again, regardless of any relationship, regardless of any other person, for my own self-esteem, the body I have now, I plan on having for another 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, regardless of any relationship, that's because I value, you know, my temple. You know, regarding, you know, in terms of my relationship with my girlfriend, it definitely matters. It's a situation where I felt the same way when I saw my girlfriend. And I continue to feel the same way. However, yes, I do, you know, I do. She always gets for me about wearing sweats all the time. Or, especially in the summertime, if I'm going somewhere, like, not like to a restaurant, if I'm going anywhere, sometimes I like to sweat, put on a white beater, some shorts, and I'm off the door, you know? However, going to dinner, things like that, you know, I enjoy dressing up. And I do love putting on, you know, slacks and a button down, a nice suit. And a lot of times people see me and they think I'm like a movie star. They're like, wow, dude, you rarely see you dressed up like this. But appearance definitely matters. And to keep that flame going, you know, keep that fire burning in any relationship. It could be girlfriend, boyfriend. It could be husband, wife for 10, 15 years or 1 year. Appearance matters. And as much as we try to say, oh, well, we love that person, it matters. It matters. And a lot of times, again, people getting comfortable. It's the man or the woman getting comfortable. And it leads to a lot of issues down the road. So do yourself a favor and just keep yourself together. Keep yourself tight.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love. We're talking to fitness trainer Jay Morgan about physical and romantic fitness. Once again, would you tell our audience how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. That's you reach me at jmorganfitness@gmail.com. That's JYMORGAN. Fitness, FITNESS, @gmail.com, or you can reach me at my website at www.borntobefit.org.
Now, we would not be doing our job if we were talking about fitness, romance, and we did not throw sex into the mix.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, how does fitness and sex correlate, and sex drive and sex stamina? Talk to me a little bit about that.
This is the real reason I want to come and talk on the show, actually.
Let's go.
Let's go. Well, firstly, it's scientific fact that the males with the best bodies are the ones that also have the more natural testosterone. There are two ways to increase your testosterone hormone levels in the body. There's the natural way and the unnatural way. I think the unnatural way we've seen a lot in sports. Then there's the natural way.
And let's make it clear, that's steroids.
Exactly.
All right.
And there's a natural way by simply exercising intensely. And that's a natural way for your body to increase your testosterone levels. Now, what it also does, it increases the libido.
Is that true for women too, Mr. Morgan?
Oh, definitely. Actually, I had a client not long ago, 3 days ago, send me an email, put a testimonial form saying, hey, I love, since you've been working together, you know, I've lost X amount of pounds and I'm feeling so much better about myself. And my boyfriend can't keep his hands off me. We're doing X, Y, Z more often throughout the week. We're having more intercourse throughout the week more, et cetera, et cetera. She didn't go into that much detail, but I got the picture.
Yeah, we're not doing X, Y, and Z around here. We
exactly.
Intercourse.
We want the real, yeah. Mr. Morgan.
So for a man, like a man who exercises, it gives them, you know, that natural, just like alpha male status comes out emotionally. And you just feel like you want to just grab anything sometimes, especially if you're in a relationship that you're comfortable and expressing yourself physically and sexually. It can be the most liberating experience known to man.
Any particular exercises you would recommend for increasing sexual stamina, sex drive, or sexual interest from your partner?
Well, everything starts at that core, the abdominal region, the core wall. So, you know, a stronger core, a more muscular core means you can endure longer, means you can, you know, you can have a lot of fun for a longer period of time. Exercises that will help with that, obviously, you know, things like planks, working on the spine and posture, squatting. So if you have a girl you like to pick up, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Squatting, deadlifting, some more core exercises to mention, planking, crunches, anything with rotation of your spine, like an exercise called a Russian twist with a medicine ball. Other exercises, anything pressing over your head. But the point is, I mean, just moving period, exercising intensely period will increase your heart rate. And increasing your heart rate, increasing your testosterone production naturally. So when you get home at nighttime from the gym, and you have, even before you want a meal, you look at the girl, she's watching TV, or she's reading, or she's got in the shower. The urges are so high. The urges, because you built up all these hormones that are built up from your exercises, and you're ready to unleash.
So you can go from the weight room to the bedroom.
And you are just ready. You are ready. You're primed. You're ready. And for a woman... And for a woman also, it's a little more psychological and emotional, just the feeling of being self-satisfied, of being emotionally, of being taking your guard down. You know, a lot of times, if you see a girl on the street, or you talk to a girl in the club, or you go up to her and say, hey, miss, how you doing? It's nice to meet you, and you're trying to approach them. You know, these days, you know, you might get that, get away from me, creep, or that, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, females who work out and exercise, also have more endorphins. The estrogen levels go down, so they're not high strong. You know, they're more relaxed, so they're more receptive. So when you come home from work, what if both of you guys came from the gym and you get home at nighttime or in the middle of the evening, and you both just look at each other and you're both more relaxed? Then imagine if both of you guys are on board instead of just the man coming home. Imagine if it's both of you guys. It can lead to some of the most liberating sexual experiences a couple can have.
And again,
that bond, obviously, sex is important in any relationship. So having that bond in a gym or outside and transferring it back home into the bedroom, like, there really is nothing better than that.
Okay, we're going to take the sexual conversation one step further.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're familiar with the way of looking at fitness and the way of looking at competition. That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
men, let's say Mike Tyson, when he was getting when he was training for a major bout coming up, it said that men should not ejaculate because they need to keep their semen, because it's a part, it's one of the things that helps them in a competition. It helps them win, fight, be strong, all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to say about that? You agree?
Well,
disagree?
You know, it's a matter of because I'm just a matter, especially in intense bouts, it's a matter of unleashing that intent and not having and not ejaculating and not having sex. It builds up tension. So when you're getting ready in Mike Tyson's situation, you're getting ready with the bell sound, and you're getting ready to, you know, unleash all that tension, all that anger, all of that frustration out on the person in front of you. If you're a football player and you see a running your linebacker and you see a running back running, you're getting ready to unleash all of that tension, all of that anger on that running back. You know, so it's a, you know, it's definitely something to be said about, you know, withstanding and withholding until, you know, something like a competition or a fight, as you mentioned before, is definitely something to be said. Whether or not it has an effect that's bigger, larger than marginal, still to be said. But I will say this though, from personal experience, I've undergone something similar to that personally, withholding and not having sex and withholding myself for a certain period of time. And yes, it does have, it's an adrenaline rush. So, you know, I actually did it before a game, my first game of the season, and it definitely does have an extra adrenaline rush. So you're a little more amped, you're a little more fired up, you're a little more, you know, you don't feel pain that much. So it definitely has an effect. It definitely has an effect, especially
now,
in that arena.
It's not going to just have an effect on the man. It's also, and I've seen this, it can also irritate your woman a couple reasons. One, if you are willing to have sex but not willing to ejaculate, well, she may feel as though she's not satisfying you and be irritated with that. Or if you decide just simply not to have sex, then, well, you know, she's not going to be having sex. And that could be, or at least she won't be having sex with you. And mm-hmm. that could be mm-hmm. irritating also. How do you navigate those two issues?
That's a tough one. Because, you know, the fine line would be to have sex without ejaculating. You know, is there other ways to try to, you know, sexually arouse or satisfy a woman? A lot of times, you know, and a lot of it is psychological. I think 90% of sex is psychological. Being, you know, taking yourself and totally releasing yourself and taking down all those veils and masks and showing your partner or whoever you're having sex with who you are, which can be mentally as satisfying as physically. There have actually been studies, you know, talking about that, how much sex is psychological, how much that built-up tension is from thoughts, our images, our past experiences, things like that. So there's ways to satisfy, you know, a woman or satisfy a man, maybe without, for a man, or satisfy a woman without ejaculating. There may be other ways to satisfy her. It may be oral. There may be other ways to stimulate her. So, you know, there's ways to get around it. There's fine lines. You know, assuming that this is a short and temporary, you know, thing that you're doing. Right. But I definitely want to make it permanent because it will definitely cause issues, as we all know. Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love and Dr. Gale. We've been joined by fitness trainer Jay Morgan, who's been schooling us about matters pertaining to physical and romantic fitness. Once again, would you tell our listeners how to reach you?
Sure thing. That's jmorganfitness@gmail.com. That's jmorganfitness@gmail.com. Website, www.borntobefit.org.
I've had a ball chatting with such a inspiring and exuberant physical fitness professional. As always, I hope you're walking away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that will help you structure your relationship as one that is as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr., that's M-R, Frank Love, or at franklove.com. Until next time, keep rising. This is Frank Love.